Good morning. Thanks for being with us today as we spend time in worship together. And I was enjoying that music, praise music today. And so I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much to our worship team. Not just those that are on stage, but the ones that are behind the scenes that you don't get to see, but they're working just as hard and to make it sound good and all come together. And so I want to thank them for the work that they're doing to make this possible for us today. And I'm grateful that you're here today. And I want to start a journey this week. And I hope you're ready for it, but we're going to start a journey that I think is a very relevant one for us in the midst of what we're going through, not just as a nation, but also as people in a community, as a church. And I want to start with this image. Now, this is not an image that I created, but I like it, and I think that it works for getting us started today. So here's the image. It's an iceberg. You ever seen an iceberg? You ever notice how when you look at an iceberg that there is some of it above the water and then there's a whole lot below the water? And you may see a little bit below the water, but you know that there's a whole lot more below the water than there really is above the water. And I want to use that to get us thinking about what people see in how we speak to them, how we sort of make decisions, the choices that we make, what is maybe driving what we say and how we say it to other people, and maybe even probably how we pray sometimes, is influenced by a lot of what is underneath the surface that folks aren't seeing, and we may not even see it, but we may see and know that some of it's there, and it's influencing what is being produced in our lives. And so maybe some of this sounds familiar, because here's what I'm sort of getting at. On the outside, we may carry ourselves and say, man, I love Jesus. And we really do. And it's 100% correct. We love the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we're excited about our faith. And at the same time, there are also some, we might say driving forces, but I want to be very careful with using that phrase, that are sort of shaping other decisions that we're making beyond just saying, I love Jesus. And it might be a drive for people's approval. I want to talk more about that one for my own life in a little bit. But maybe it's a fear of failure. And as I go down this list, for me, it just feels like I'm sharing stuff from my own story and things I've wrestled with. But maybe you know what it is to wrestle with a fear of failure. And maybe it's just low self-esteem. Don't think too highly of yourself and that you really have much of value to contribute to others and that you could actually make a difference. Maybe when you enter into conflict, you find that you have a tendency to shut down or you don't really know how to communicate how you're feeling and why you feel hurt and what you may not agree with in that moment. And maybe you find that when you're not getting what you really were expecting to get out of a relationship or an experience, whether it's at home, at work, in church, wherever, out at the store, that you maybe become apathetic. Have you ever heard or said or had kind of that the old phrase, you're like, whatever. You know, it's just like, I don't handle it, so whatever. And you just kind of just throw your hands up like that and really kind of become apathetic at it. And that's not really a healthy way to express kind of how we feel and be able to handle a situation that may not be a place that we want to be. Maybe that you find when somebody says something to you or does something that hurts you, that you hold a grudge. And so you may find that, hey, when you walk by them, you don't even look at them. You know, when they may say something, you just kind of, you pay attention face value, but that's about all you're really putting into that conversation in that moment, because you're just holding on to a grudge, and you maybe stuffing that hurt way down deep and not wanting to wrestle and work through that being honest with yourself, maybe something totally different. Maybe you find yourself smiling on the outside, but yet maybe on the inside, judging the spirituality of others. People are making choices and you don't agree with those choices, and you think, well, they ought to know better because, you know, they've been a Christian for a long time, and you just find yourself judging and sort of devaluing somebody for not making a decision that you thought they should have just in the right mind made. And here's another one. We've used this one quite a bit, and this will be my last one. That maybe you find that you're tempted to listen, not so that you can learn something, but so that you can be heard. You know what I mean? You listen not to learn, but to be heard. If you've been at New Hope for a while, you know almost every week I've been throwing that out there, because listening is one of the great ways that we love each other. And of course, listening to us is one of the ways that God shows us his love for us. And when we listen just so that we can speak and be heard, instead of trying to learn what somebody thinks or how they feel or why they might be sharing what they're saying in a moment, we don't do a very good job of loving them in that moment. And so we need to, I think, be reminded of that, especially in the season of what we've been going through over the last few months. So as I was thinking about all of this, and I know it's such a heavy way to start this morning, but we're going to go up from here, I promise you that. But let's start with perhaps somebody in the Bible that could shine some light and help us see that this is not just something that we wrestle with today, but people have been wrestling with this for a long time. And the person that I want to pick out, and we could certainly pick out all sorts of folks, but I want to pick out Israel's first king, King Saul. And I want to just take a little glimpse of his story. Not the whole thing, but certainly just part of it, as you can find it in 1 Samuel. And I'm not going to go there this morning, but feel free to read some of his story in 1 Samuel 13 through chapter 19. So that's a pretty big scope of text, I know. But when you think about King Saul, God picked Saul to be king. And Saul had this desire to honor God. He believed that God was holy. He believed that he was God's representative to the people. That was the way that he understood that, and he wanted to honor God's holiness as the king, as the leader. And so he was, for most part, making decisions that were sort of reflecting that. And when we look at his larger story, we see something else, though. We notice that he seems to have an unhealthy fear of failure. This need, deep need for approval, this jealousy that's working within him, this low self-esteem, he's having trust issues, and it sounds like a hot mess, doesn't it? But that's part of his story. Well, when you look at the story and you see those, you can start to look at specific things that are happening in his story, kind of help us see those things. And, you know, one of the places I see that is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And it's there that, you know, Saul, his son Jonathan, decides that he's going to kind of pick a battle. And he kind of launches into this conflict with the Philistines. And so his dad, who is King Saul, of course, hears about it and just jumps right in and says, here we go. Well, the problem was the Philistines were a great army and a great force. So he was really barking up a tree he didn't have any business doing. And the people of Israel become very afraid because of what they are facing and the sheer size of the Philistine army against them. And so King Saul, as he's noticing all of this around him, he decides to overreact. You ever overreact to something because you're scared, or you're not certain of how you ought to handle it, or what you ought to do, or, gosh, maybe I should have done something, I should have done this. Boy, does he overreact in this moment. And what he does is he takes on the responsibility to offer a sacrifice to God. And you go, well, that's not a problem. Like, why would that be an issue? Well, the issue was that wasn't his job. God has said the only people that can do that are the priests. So King Saul had no business doing that, but he was so overly concerned about the predicament that he was in, he took matters into his own hands. I've done that a time or two. How about you? Maybe so, huh? Well, that wasn't the only time that he made an unhealthy decision. Because you see, not too long after that, David, who will now become King David, has a lot of success having military battles and winning them for King Saul. And he does so well that the people notice that he's doing better than the king is doing. And Saul hears this, and as king, he becomes very jealous over David's successes. And he becomes very antagonistic, and he tries to kill David multiple times. He becomes underhanded in what he's doing. So he's not only underhanded with David, but he's underhanded with his son, Jonathan. He begins thinking irrationally as king. And of course, one of those times which really just jumps out at me as I was looking over his story was, you know, God wasn't answering Saul's prayers as he had wanted him to. And so he decides that he's going to take matters into his own hand. So, tired of waiting on God, I'm going to do it my way. That sounds too familiar in my life. And he decides that he's going to go to a person that was like a medium. So it was a person who could talk to the dead. And he wants to sort of have that person call up Samuel, who had already died, so that he could talk to Samuel about the issues that he's having, because, you know, God's not answering and I need help, and so I'll go to the prophet Samuel, even though he's dead. And he just goes down a path that it's irrational. It's just, he's not thinking straight. But he still believes that God is holy. He still is wanting, and probably if you ask Saul, do you believe God is holy? Yes. Do you want to honor God? Yes. Do you want the best for God's nation? Oh, well, yes. That's why I'm doing all these things. It's like, you're not going about it the right way. His choices negatively impacted not just him, but it impacted his kids. His kids end up dying because of his bad choices. It impacts the nation of Israel. And in fact, it cost Saul his very own life. We can love God, and it be very true. And at the same time, we can still be carrying baggage in our lives that's hindering our relationship with God and with other people and how we think of ourselves and how we love people and love God and love ourselves. And it doesn't mean that we don't love God because we have those struggles. There's just more to who we are than just that spiritual relationship that we have with God. We also have emotional health that's very important. It influences the choices that we make. And I think we see that some in King Saul. In my story, when I graduated college, I graduated with a degree in accounting. And it was several years later that I switched careers and went into ministry. And when I was starting my career, I started, you know, what felt like at kind of the bottom level in the field of accounting. And I got a better job after that, and I worked to get a better job after that, and sort of was moving around to sort of, you know, work my way up the ladder because I wanted to excel. I'd worked hard in school, and I wanted to do well with my career. And I spent a lot of time at work. Spent a lot of hours working, as I look back, more than I really needed to chase something that really wasn't that important, but I sure thought that it was, and I needed that. And even when I switched careers and I went into ministry, I was still working in the evenings after working all day. I was working on the weekends, you know, not just doing pastoring in a local church, but I was involved in state level ministry. I was working in local ministries, serving on the board of directors of a nonprofit, and it seemed like every day I was going doing something for week after week after week. And after a while, that began to take a toll. not just physically, but it began to take a toll emotionally. Because you know, when you pour yourself into something that is not bringing others alongside you and loving them well, after a while, that tends to impact your relationship with them. And I began to experience that. And so we decided in our home that I needed to make some changes. And I say we because it was a we. My wife and I, you know, we sat down and talked and said, we've got to change. We cannot keep going that path. It's not going to be good in the long term. And our son was born, and it just wasn't going to be healthy. Because you could climb the ladder. You don't build a family that loves God and loves one another and is there for each other. What have you really built? That was a hard lesson to learn. And I'm still trying to learn and grow and mature in that. And I'll be honest, I certainly have my seasons where sometimes I kind of, you know, make sort of be tempted to walk back into that old way of thinking. And I tell you, I wish I knew then what I know now. Not that I have all the answers, but I've learned that there's a better way. There's a way that helps us to love God, love other people, and love ourselves better than what many of us think is the way. And I say that thinking back to that list of where I started with, that long list. Yeah. And I want to give you an image for what I think that better way is. I think it's in the images that might work is walking up the steps, which is so simple. You ever try to walk up steps with one foot? You ever try to hop up the steps and sort of jump with one foot? That's hard work. You need some good coordination and good leg strength, and it just kind of wears you out. It feels awkward. And I find that it's a whole lot easier if you just use both feet. If you can use both feet to walk up the steps, it's just a whole lot simpler, and you get there with less energy, and it's a better experience. And I'm like, that's really simple and weird. But man, I think that works, because walking up the steps of becoming better and better as a person in Christ and who we are inside needs not only to be working on becoming spiritually healthier, but also becoming emotionally healthier. The two, I believe the two go together, and they interconnect. They kind of go hand in hand, if we might say. But if we're going to say that this really works, and we don't want it to be just a counseling session, right? We really want it to be grounded in our Christian faith, then we need to ground it in a belief and see if we can root it in Scripture. And I do believe that we can. And so here's what I would share to us to try to make that set for us, if you will. All people, regardless of the color of their skin or where they are from, all people are made in the good image of God. They are. But because of the effect of sin in people and in the world, every person needs spiritual and emotional healing. We've all been affected. We all need that same healing. As a people of faith, we are believing that God brings that healing to pass in each of us. You can try as hard as you want, and I have over the years, and I found that I always come up short. It's only when I surrender and I lay it into God's hands and ask that His grace would accomplish in me what I do not have the power to do, that it actually gets better. So, our faith is saying, okay, here we go. God brings the healing to pass. I'm trusting and I'm surrendering to that truth. And He's going to do it by His grace. And I'm going to become spiritually healthier because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to do that work that has already begun in me as I continue to walk every day in that relationship with God. It's like, hey, Jesus saves me. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation I have. And the Holy Spirit is growing me up by the power of God's grace at work within me. And I love that the Apostle Paul, maybe he could be a New Testament spokesperson for this topic. I don't know, but the Apostle Paul, I love that, you know, Galatians chapter 5, he points to an image of what it looks like to be growing spiritually healthy. And I believe that image is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. We all love patience, right? It's patience and kindness, goodness, making those good, right choices. It's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we're growing in the character of Christ. And this is God's desire for you and for me and for our families. I mean, if we're going to talk about where, how do we disciple our families and to what direction do we lead them, I would say one of the answers is to be growing up in the character of Christ, in the fruit of the Spirit, that God's presence in us empowers us and makes possible for us to produce in our own lives. I can't do it. God has to do it in me and do that through me. So we have to begin with setting our foundation, kind of the base of the steps, right? But the whole way up, the whole thing is saying, look, it's by God's grace. Every step with grace, with grace, with grace. But there's also another side to this, and kind of what I've been alluding to, and I think maybe the Apostle Paul, again, in Romans chapter 7, kind of opens this idea for us. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul gives his little struggle when he says, you know, I don't do the things that I know I should do sometimes, and then I end up doing the things I know I shouldn't do sometimes, and I find that there's this battle within me. I just find that I keep wrestling. And it's really frustrating, and it gets tiring, we probably all know what that is like, I hope. He said, there's this battle, and I have this struggle, and here's what I like. Paul chooses to own it. He doesn't pretend like it's not there. He doesn't pretend as though he doesn't know what it feels like and how he feels, and in the midst of it, and how the things that he's gone through are also influencing that. He talks about having been a Pharisee and that zeal coming out of that. I mean, this guy is fully owning his story and being honest. He's not hiding it. And he also doesn't let it devalue his identity in Christ. He's like, I know I'm wrestling with this, and I get how I feel, but hey, that has nothing to do with my identity in Christ. Is the righteousness of Christ that has identifies me as one who is welcome in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to own that. And at the same time, I know I have all this other stuff that influences and impacts just my daily living. Right? So he's, we would say, self-aware. And in that awareness, he says, hey, this is where I'm at, but this is what God's grace can do in me. And I'm not letting go of that. Because that's my hope. I believe that Paul gives us a glimpse of having an emotionally healthy spirituality. And I know that's kind of a weird term, you know, but think of it, emotionally healthy spirituality. I know who God is. I know that he loves me. I know that he is working in me by his grace. And I know that I need that because I have the need to keep growing up in this emotional aspect of who I am as a person. I need the power of grace every day to help me make right decisions, to love people the way they need to be loved, to be patient when I need to be patient, to use self-control when I need to be using self-control, to be gentle, to be kind, instead of being vengeful or violent. We may feel like that's what we want to do, but as we have a tendency of saying around here at New Hope, just because we could doesn't mean we should. I think an emotionally healthy spirituality helps us make that decision of knowing what we should do when we think of what we could do. And I think in the season we're in, that's an important message for us to be digging into. You know, during the past 4 months, from COVID-19 to what's happening with racial conflict and struggles and other issues of politics, and you know, it just keeps going on and on. But there's been a lot of emotional turmoil, wouldn't you say? I feel like there's just been a whole lot going on. There's a lot of brokenness, a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety. And of course, we talked about that last week. There's been a lot of uncertainty. There's been a lot of hurt that's happening in all sorts of circles and communities, and not just our country, but of course around the world. And all the while this has been happening, the church's mission has remained the same. At New Hope, we like to say that we believe our purpose and the mission of where we're really going is to make disciples of Christ who love God and others well, who are growing, and who are serving. And so in this season, we believe that it is appropriate that we not forget that. That in fact, we need to be doing that now more than ever. So here's what we're going to do. At New Hope, you're part of the New Hope family. I want you to know that we, over the next several weeks, we're going to take a journey together. And we're going to explore what's under that iceberg, right? All the stuff that's underneath. We're going to do that work of exploring that with God and together. Over the next several weeks, we're going to explore this topic of how to partner with God to become emotionally and spiritually healthier. Not saying how we're going to be perfect in every way. Not even going to try to do that one. But we are going to say, God, help us be perfected in your love. Help us to grow healthier spiritually and emotionally so we can have an emotionally healthy spirituality. I want us to be a voice for that. I believe it needs to be said. And I want us to be that voice in the midst of brokenness and hurt. Let's be a voice of wholeness and healing. Choosing to say, yeah, I could go this route. But Lord, by your grace, help me to go this route. That I might love God and love others well, even though it doesn't feel like I can or I really want to. But we can trust that the Lord wants us to, because he wants us to love the world as he has loved us. And truly, that greatest message is the story of the cross. And so we'll keep telling that story as we go through this whole series to help us see the connection and not get lost in one side or the other, because I think we need both steps to climb up this ladder, if you will. So, invite others to join us. You might have some folks, some friends, some families, and say, hey, look, at my church, we're going to be talking about this, and that might be something you might enjoy, you know? Invite them to come along. So invite others to come be a part of it with us, and I can promise you that as we go through the next several weeks, I'm going to do the best that I can to not just help us lean into God's grace, but to also learn a healthy way of loving God and loving others, give you tools, and as we go through the journey, encouragement along the way. We're going to provide for you online through, you know, Facebook and through email, some resources to help us all and to encourage one another as we do this. So if this is a topic that, you know what, Pastor, you got me thinking, I want to know more about this, dial in every Sunday, worship with us, bring some others along. And yet if you still find, hey, I still want to know more, hey, reach out to me. I'd be happy to help equip you on that journey and talk with you, listen, and together, I believe we can become healthier than we've been. And I believe that's critical because in our nation and in our communities, that we all need people who are saying, I want to be the best that I can so I can love God and love others well, for God's glory, to promote healing and wholeness in my own backyard. It's going to be a journey, right? I know, but it's going to be a great one. So come along. So can I pray for us as we get ready to embark on this journey together? God, I'm grateful that you have made us to be not just a spiritual person, but also emotional and physical and relational, intellectual. We can think, but we can also feel, and we can pray, and we can have a relationship with you. There's so much that you've created us to be able to do. And as you said, it is good. So please, by your Spirit, help us to grow healthier and healthier by your grace as we go forward in these weeks that are ahead of us. And that by doing that with you, we will truly be a light on a hill that the world will see our love and they will want to know, how can I have that? How can I experience that great change and peace in my life? Help us, Lord, by your grace as we move ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.